And here's a ball driven high into the air, deep down the left field line. That ball sails way out of here. Wyatt Langford with his 14th home run of the year. With a man on board, it makes it 13-1 Texas.
That's the way we start the hump day edition.
Hump day.
Of Sean and RJ on your home for Rangers Baseball 105.3 The Fan. Matt Hicks with the call on DFW Sports Station. As you get an offensive explosion, we have to go back and track the Wednesday morning Brett Boone offensive output for the Tuesday game. Because it feels like we're on a couple of weeks now where Booney should be in a good mood when he joins us live from Cali at 9:20 this morning.
He should be. He'll be very early. That'll be, 7:20 a.m. Cali time off a night game. He should be, he should be ready to go.
Ooh, we are on a heater the last 3 weeks. The last three Wednesdays, or going into the Wednesday interview, they've won 6-5, 10-2, and 13-1. And if you want to include the actual day of that he talks to us, the last 2 weeks, they're a combined 13 runs scored, none allowed. So we're pretty much his good luck charm.
Yeah, you know what that means?
No.
He should just come on every day.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Naturally. That'd be nice.
I mean, if he cares about winning.
Nate Eovaldi allowed one earned run in six innings. Wyatt went deep. You heard that. Jake Berger also drove in four runs. Seager went yard. Evan Carter drove in three. Everybody got healthy in this one. Rangers beat down the Angels 13-1.
This was a one of those easy ones where you can kind of relax. I was a little surprised they brought Eovaldi back for the sixth. I guess they have a plan from a pitch count perspective. Try to work him back in after coming off the injured list. Because when you're up 9-1, and I guess it would have been 10-1 by the time the bottom of the sixth got around. You know, it would have been one of those, hey, let's just get him out, like, save the bullets. What's the point? But they wanted to, I think his pitch count was so low that they wanted to get him that extra inning to work to get him closer, above 70 pitches maybe. So that's the only thing I could think of. It was like, otherwise, save him. He qualified for the win after five. So what's the point in bringing him out? But they've got a plan.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see, obviously, a night like this whenever the offense performs itself. But the good thing that you're seeing right now is just consistently every single night in the last, 2 weeks, basically, it feels like you've got Corey Seager back. And that, to me, that was going to be the biggest part of the equation the whole time of if your offense could click, was like, can you get him on track? Can he be himself? If he's himself, you can kind of fill in around that. And that's what you've gotten recently, has been Corey Seager hitting like Corey Seager.
You got a good game from Wyatt, which you needed, because there's no reason he should be outside your top four of the lineup. Like, ideally, that's where you want him. He shouldn't be, down. Six is fine. Six is still a run producing position, but you really ideally want him probably 2, 3, 4.
Something. And this is where home runs can be a little bit misleading. You heard Hicksie say number 14. So he's on pace for 28 home runs. If I told you before the year that he was going to hit 28, you're like, damn right, I'm signing up for that. But we've had some Wyatt Langford hesitation and frustrations in the first half.
Yeah, the problem was, before the season, you'd be like, yeah, that sounds good. But then you got to the end of April, and you're like, well, he's on pace for, 45 home runs and hitting 350. And then it's like, he has just gone so cold. And that's, look, they deserve credit right now. Brett Boone, Bruce Bochy, Chris Young, the organization, whoever it is. They deserve credit for seemingly rallying Evan Carter back from kind of his tailspin between the ears, and then hopefully kind of rebuilding Wyatt's confidence a little bit after that clearly got shaken. And then if you're able to do that, it gives you confidence that maybe Josh Young can rally at some point.
And you got two more against the Angels, and it'd be lovely if you could win these two, as you're going to have Kumar Rocker and then Corbin go in the final games of the series. Because after this, the murderer's row of the Houston Astros, who have been dominant, and then the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, I mean, you got the All-Star break thrown in there, so you're gonna have you'll be able to reset your rotation between the two. But look, after that, the A's are pesky. Atlanta can always bite you. Then you got Seattle and the Yankees and Philadelphia, and then you got Toronto. I mean, on the road, it's a tough stretch. They probably should have made up. I got Steve's coming on. They probably should have made up a little bit more ground over these last 3-4 weeks than they did. It would have been nice to be, you know, in a position where you're maybe 2 games closer to the wild card.
2 games.
2 games closer to the division. Over 500. But, you know, you're going to have to wind up. You're going to have to find a way to beat. Take 2 or 3 from the Yankees. Take 2 or 3 from Philly somewhere.
Yeah, because when they entered this stretch that you're referencing where, all right, this is going to be in a section where you hope like you can clean up a little bit or you might be able to get ahead a little bit. Like we've talked about with the Cowboys first half of their schedule this year. From that point to now, they are exactly 500. And like you don't want to just be 500 going through the stretch because you're right. Next up, it's going to get a lot more difficult with Houston and Detroit and everything else that you got ahead of you.
And Jared Sandler with more Nate Eovaldi post All-Star decision praise. He should be an All-Star. Make it make sense. AL ranks minimum 80 innings pitched. First in ERA, second in WHIP, fifth in batting average against, second in on-base percentage, second in slugging, second in OPS. Those are definitely all-star numbers. Nate gets the easy W yesterday, but let's take a little different look and perspective at the Rangers' young talent. I was waiting for Langford and Carter to do something in the same game in order to go to baseball's redraft of the young talent that we've seen recently go before the actual draft comes up here again.
Yeah, we got the MLB draft coming up here shortly, and the Rangers will be in a decent position. They're going to be picking 12th in the draft coming up. And so there's a look back that ESPN had done on the top 10 picks from the MLB draft each of the last decade. Like, all right, okay, if you got a chance to redraft it, where would you slot guys? And so obviously somebody who was maybe really good who went in the third round would now be redrafted potentially in the top 10, just given what you would know. So I was looking at this and I was trying to see how many times have the Rangers over the last decade produced somebody that you would redraft in the top 10, specifically knowing you had 4 picks in the top 10 over the last decade. And those 4 picks actually were all, I believe 4 of those picks were in the top 4 because it was Dylan Tate, Wyatt Langford, Kumar Rocker, Jack Leiter. So when you look at this redraft over the last decade, it's half of the drafts, 5 of them have had a top 10 pick from the Rangers, 4 in those top 4. Just 1 of Texas's original selections in the top 10 were still picked in the top 10. It was Wyatt Langford went 1 spot ahead of them in the redraft to the Tigers. And then if you look at Leiter, Rocker, Young, Dylan Tate, they all fell out of the top 10. And in the case of Leiter, Rocker, and Tate, those were, again, all guys who went in the top 4 who couldn't even stick in the top 10 on the redraft. There's only 1 other Ranger that managed to fall in the top 10 over the last decade who went ahead of where they originally drafted, and that was Evan Carter. He went 7th in the 2020 class when they redrafted it. But it's pretty bad when every other year you're picking in the top 10 and you're supposed to be a team that's building for the future and not a barely any of the last 10 drafts you're able to redraft any of them in the top 10.
It is a crapshoot with the base. It's a bigger crapshoot with baseball than it is with football.
And with anything, really. Basketball, too.
Because hockey is like the biggest lock up top.
It seems it. It's not one of those things where, like, it's you should have this. I mean, Bassick is considered a hit of a draft pick.
Man.
If you make it to the if you make it to the major leagues, you're considered a hit.
Yeah, because you're still so many steps away.
Yeah, and a lot of these guys are high school kids, and you know, that's why a lot of teams, and the Rangers have had a philosophy for at least a lot of JD's tenure. Their philosophy was, we take high school kids, high upside high school kids. College players are a little bit more stable. You knew Wyatt Langford was going to be good. I don't remember who. I saw this article. Who did they redraft in the Wyatt Langford spot?
Who went number one or who went four?
Wyatt went 4th, but he went 3 in the redraft, right?
Yeah, so he went right ahead of them. The Rangers' new pick was Max Clark.
Well, I think he went to Detroit, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, I mean, that would, he's supposed to be an up-and-coming player. The Leiter thing surprises me, and so does Rucker, because they're already up.
I think it's just, people probably have not adjusted nationally yet to like shifts on expectations for Leiter is probably what a lot of that is. Rocker still is, there's a little bit of a just uncertainty about who he is right now. Leiter, you feel like a little bit more confident, like, okay, I've got somebody who's a decent major league starter. Rocker, there's not as much certainty with. So I think that's just more about catching up to the curve.
Were there any names that jumped out and it was like, oh no, this kid is already a big name and the Rangers skipped over him.
Not anything that would have been egregious necessarily in that air, like in that range. So it's not like they're picking fourth, somebody went sixth, and they really cleaned up. So you don't really have anything like that. There was, in the Dillon Tate draft, Kyle Tucker went the next pick. That's probably the biggest one, where they picked Tate at four. They end up trading him a year later when they realize, oh, this is a reliever. He's not a starter. And the very next pick, Kyle Tucker went to the Astros.
That 2015, that's a load. That's Bregman, Kyle Tucker. The Astros got the top two picks. They wound up drafting the top two picks that year. They went Bregman, Tucker, Austin Riley, Dansby, Walker Buehler's in the top 10, Andrew Benintendi. I mean, these have been like solid players. Martin Mountcastle, Josh Naylor, whoever we're thinking of getting, Trent Grisham, Richland High.
But this is also why it's like so critical to me to really be sure that if this is the team you like, fine, go for it. But if you're not in love with this team, you've got to start picking off prospects that you've seen them develop a little bit in other systems. Like something. Just do something to replenish your minor leagues a little bit. Because if you're not drafting well enough, you need to start finding young talent somewhere else to replenish your depth.
Props to the Rangers and Astros, each pledging $1 million towards the relief with what is happening in Central Texas. We have an update on that and another celebrity name who appears to have suffered a loss.
Pat Green, family was swept away, as the article reads. How many? His little brother John, his wife Julia, and two of their children were swept away.
Oh my God,
that's awful.
The parents were there.
Parents and the children. Yeah. And his wife posted that on Instagram this week. So now the number, the death toll is over 100 now, and That's just that one. I mean, the Ruidoso, New Mexico one from yesterday was like, did you see that video? Mm-hmm. That was a, I mean, there was another house just flying down the river. Just awful. Like, what's going on right now? Like, that Ruidoso flood was treacherous.
Bobby, you said flash flood would present a different meaning moving forward. I got that on my phone.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Or I saw it on TV and I was like, uh-oh. Like, not just, because I'm just looking instantly for tornado.
Yeah.
If I don't see tornado, I'm like, all good. And then I see pictures of mosquito flooding.
Dude.
And I start losing power in my house yesterday twice without a drop of rain even hitting the ground. And I'm like, what is going on?
I can't remember which exit it was, but there was a shot somebody had put up of I-30 where the water was just like cascading down the highway, like down I-30 onto the service road, just like everywhere. And yeah, I mean, that was really fast yesterday. All the mesquite videos came out of just the area being saturated in just a blink. And we barely got any rain in Flower Mound.
I didn't get anything. It was sunny in Roanoke.
That's again, it's just one of those things where it can sneak up on you like that. This thing in South Texas, Abbott announced yesterday it's now 160 missing. So it went from like 20 to 30 to where now it's 160. Because they had set up a call line basically for like, hey, let us know if you have anybody missing. And that caused a fresh surge of new cases that they found out about.
877-881-1053, the way to get in on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. The way to win Rangers Tigers tickets during the 720 Commercial Free Expressway, where we will chop it up on your home of the Rangers and Cowboys with Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt. The controversy over Fat Mahomes and Dak Prescott saying this is as healthy as I'm going to be. What is up with that statement? We take you inside the Star, the home of the Cowboys, next. The buildup towards Cowboys training camp in Oxnard continues. Where else? This radio station is your official home of the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. Here with Sean and RJ, along with our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt. And we got a 5-year Oxnard, California extension for training camp announced yesterday.
Yeah, are you happy about that, Chop?
I love going there. It's you're jumping into a pool, 70 degrees in the middle of July.
I love the trip on its own. The 3 a.m. wake-up calls are a bit much. You got to remember, I have trouble getting here at 6. You're telling me I got to be up at 3? And also, like, engaging in things during the week. That's a lot to ask. But they did extend it through 2030, which is surprising because we've heard it the last couple of years. I'm not remembering how much of this is public, but I mean, in general, we've heard rumblings about, oh, the city being sticklers about code all of a sudden that maybe they haven't in the past, or just kind of nitpicking on things, which maybe they were just setting it up for.
Well, they also built facilities in front of people's property to block their balconies.
Yes, that was bad. That was bad. But specifically, their relations with the city of Oxnard have seemed at times to like kind of be a little more tense. And I don't know, maybe it was all setting up for this. It's just the negotiation. Both sides were just kind of trying to set a standard. But yeah, we'll be out in Oxnard through 2030 for training camp.
I don't envision them ever leaving. They've basically been out there for 60 years in some form or fashion. Outside of the Jimmy era, they were, and the early part of Bill, they were always out in Southern California or Oregon. Mm-hmm. Right, back in early Landry days, they went to Oregon. But they've always had, it would be the Thousand Oaks or Oxnard. It's just where they go.
Where was Dak speaking?
So Dak was having his every year, right around 2 weeks out, 3 weeks out from training camp, he will do his like youth camp that he does, his free youth camp that he puts on. And so he was doing that yesterday and had, this was going on yesterday, I think from like 8 to 10 or something like that. But yeah, Dak Prescott was out there doing his camp between a partnership that he had. And this is like the same thing that George Pickens got killed for recently when he canceled.
And he gave an update on the status of his rehab for camp and the season.
I'm healthy. I'll be full go for camp. I'm healthy. Yeah, look, I think soon here I'll probably get an official sign off from Doc, but I'm healthy.
I don't love that because that's...
I didn't hear your...
I'm
out.
Healthy as I'll be. Play it again, Peyton.
I'm healthy. I'll be full go for camp.
Okay.
Healthy as I'll be.
Now like here's
the ankle feels good. It'll never be 100%.
Yeah.
It's like my finger. It'll never straighten out. It feels fine. I'll never be able to straighten it out again.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah, this is tough because you got to look at it from when you hear him say that, it's like, okay. Now I've got to start interpreting. Are you saying what Chop's saying, basically? Like, yeah, dude, this is never going to be right ever again. This is just as healthy as it's going to be. Or is he saying, like, the Kyrie sense, where Kyrie's like, I can't even predict tomorrow. Why would I do that? Like, is he saying, like, in that sense? Or the third option, and this requires a lot of judgment and reading into it, did he just mean to say something like, I'm healthy as I can be, and said, I'll be? And that, because, I mean, he kind of really quickly pivoted over in what he was saying.
Also, I have to wait for the doctor to sign off.
Well, because he still was not cleared for like full contact stuff or anything else. That was where they had left it off, and they've just had a dead period since then. So he just hasn't seen the doctor since then.
Sure. Okay.
Which he should be good. Like all indications are he was going to be ready to go for training camp, and he looked like he was going to be ready to go when we were out there.
Yeah, I hope it's not as healthy as I'll be. I hope that was not the answer, and there was just a little audio skip in there that I did not hear the first time. Dak was also asked how he feels about a couple minicamp OTA sessions with his new receiver, George Pickens.
I mean, that's a guy that loves football. I mean, the guy's telling me about my college days. Like, and you don't know about Mississippi State college days unless you're a football guy, right? And sure, he's from Alabama, and I was right there in that region, but, I mean, players that I played with, guys from his region, that right there, that knowledge, that involvement, that shows you a guy loves football. And that, to me, that deletes a lot of things that you've heard in the past about him. Great dude, loves his teammates, and excited as hell for this season. I know he is. I know he's happy to be in a fresh new spot, and I'm excited for what he's going to do for us.
You know, if you were a George Pickens defender, which now everyone in the Metroplex conveniently is, including us, you would say in Pittsburgh, yeah, he was guilty of just loving football too much. It's like T.O., like he wanted the ball in order to help his team win. And the tantrums and all the media skirmishes and the personal fouls, it was just a result of the passion for the sport boiling over.
Yeah, it's like when you sit down for a job interview and they're like, what's your biggest weakness? And he's like, I care too much. Like, that's George Pickens. He cares too much. I think everything you hear is that no one who plays with him has a big problem with him. And they enjoy playing with him. He can just be kind of a pain for people who are in charge of making sure operations run smoothly. He doesn't want to be told what to do, it feels like. He's probably got a little bit of an authority problem. But in terms of like the team, the chemistry fit, he's not T.O. in that sense. Like in that sense, he's more just kind of a guy that guys tend to get along with. He's still shouting out his Pittsburgh teammates, his former, when Minkah Fitzpatrick gets traded. He's shouting him out, giving him it. So, like, he clearly had good relationships there in Pittsburgh. It was just none of it was with anybody who was above him in a position of authority.
The football controversy that has actually gone national comes from my old stomping grounds of Kansas City.
Well.
And this guy's name is Kevin Keatsman. So, Kevin Keatsman was on the opposing station that I was on. I was on 610. He was on 810. He was the big dog of the entire city. The big dog afternoon host. And we all knew he was a douchebag. He was a douchebag. He is a douchebag. He lost a job. I think he had attacked Andy Reid, calling him a bad father and a bad parent.
I heard about that.
Yeah. And now he does some type of podcast. And someone decided to pick up his quotes attacking the local legendary quarterback with the Kevin Keatsman pod.
Meanwhile, vacation photos are popping up of Patrick Mahomes, and he's fat. I'm going to say it, and I'm going to tell you the truth. That's why you hit the play button. He's an embarrassment. You're a $500 million quarterback. You've made all these comments in the offseason that we're going to do our talking on the field. We got our butts kicked in the Super Bowl. We're coming back with a vengeance. Dude, you're fat. Your belly would be fat at my pool, hanging out with us, 60-year-olds, okay? My skin's flabbier than yours. I get it. Stop. Stop the fast food. Do a sit-up. Do something. Yeah, I'm sure he's worked out and strengthened his arm, and he's done all kinds of different things, quarterback things, but there's no training to this man. I don't understand it. He's not a kid anymore.
You know, I actually thought that Pat and Aiden, we'll see if we can get up some of these pictures on the Fan Camp Twitch and YouTube. I actually thought Pat looked better than he usually does.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, there's some pec work there. There's some chest work there. RJ, you can go ahead and break it down after your Oshkosh Bagoshes last week, showing off the physique. There's some hippage. The belly doesn't have a six-pack, but I did not look at Mahomes before Keatsman's comments. I saw these vacay photos. I did not look at Pat and go, oh, my God, what is he doing?
Yeah, it's not like a what is he doing. I think there's no change. There's no difference. It's Pat. That's Pat's body. That's Pat's physique. That's what Pat, you know, Pat walks around with that kind of a body. And, like, history shows you that quarterbacks, that's kind of how a lot of them are. I never saw Philip Rivers shirtless. Like, I don't remember. But I've seen the Manning brothers shirtless, and they've got a few Super Bowls, and they got a few bellies. You could eat a bowl of cereal out of Manning's chest conclave. So I don't know. I don't know that it's a big deal.
Here's Kevin Keatsman, part two.
He's got a wonderful family, loves his kids, is a good person, all of these things. I can't believe that this guy's on page six of the New York Post or People Magazine or TMZ on vacation with his family with his dad bod. I mean, I just can't believe it. He knows they're going to get his picture. And he knows they're going to post it. And he's made jokes about it. It's not a weight thing for me. It's not. It's a core thing. It's a muscle thing. Again, do some crunches. Do some sit-ups. You've got a $500 million contract. It's your job.
We did an interview the other day recapping our 14 years together. And wow. I was expecting the interviewer to ask, you know, what is the dumbest thing you could ever do in DFW sports radio? And my answer would be attack Dirk Nowitzki. Like, go at Dirk.
Yeah.
And I think that same type of thinking may apply to Pat Mahomes in Kansas City, especially after you're not going through a Dallas Cowboy type Stephen Jones drought.
Yeah, I mean, look, they didn't win the Super Bowl this year. They didn't win the Super Bowl this year. That's a drought. That's a drought, you know. I mean, haven't they made the Super Bowl like six times in 8 years?
Yeah, but look, I mean, if he ever wants to win more than one Super Bowl, he's got to be in shape.
That's right.
You know? That's a big thing. I think this is great.
How is this different? Let me just ask a couple questions off the top of my head. How is this different from us with Luka's conditioning? Because I know Luke hasn't won the titles, but
they're legitimately not even in the same stratosphere of in or out of shape to me. But like Pat Mahomes is much more closer to what the average looks like at the position than Luka is. Like Luka, for all the I never wanted Luka to go anything else. Luka absolutely was always out of shape at the start of the season. Like it's a Shaq-like problem. It's not that big,
yeah,
but it's the guard version of Shaq in a lot of ways. The James Harden thing. Mahomes looks like every other quarterback basically in football. Like generally, I feel like the ripped six-pack quarterbacks aren't great. Like that isn't that Will Levis? Hasn't he been? Yeah, that guy?
You don't have to be like you don't have to be in. And by the way, having a little belly flat doesn't mean that you're not in good physical shape. It means your diet stinks. Doesn't mean that your cardiovascular where you can run around. There are plenty of people who can run around all day that have flab. Like,
and look how Pat runs around with his game late in fourth quarters coming back. He's not sitting there gassed and exhausted.
Exactly.
He's winning the game.
If he was gassed and exhausted, it's a different story. You know, like you don't have to be in great like physical looking shape to be a quarterback, and yet to be a running back, you know, be nice. Wide receiver, linebacker, quarterback, I don't think you need it.
940 says, Bobby was my speed camp. That's Bobby Stroop, who's Mahomes' trainer. Bobby was my speed camp coach growing up in Pilot Point. Doesn't take crap from anyone, calls it out anytime, including athletes in camp.
He went off on this radio guy, well, podcast guy. He said, you obviously need attention. If you want to see what in shape is, go make it through a practice at St. Joe or run hurry-up offense, scrambling back-to-back-to-back plays. You don't have a clue what it takes. It's not a look. It's performance.
I've seen Bobby tell professional athletes to their face, you're fat right now. Like, I've seen him do it. He doesn't have he is absolutely somebody who will kind of keep guys in line and stay on top of them. If Mahomes had an issue, he would tell them.
I watched their workout stuff with Netflix in the first quarterback season, and never did I think, man, Pat's really struggling here. Like,
right.
He was going through really hard workouts. This guy's a loser.
He's a thicker guy.
Everyone, for the most part, except for 75-year-olds in Kansas City, were thrilled and happy that he lost his job. He is the most arrogant, he's like the Mike Francesa of Kansas City. I'm surprised Nick Wright. So if this was Nick Wright's chief rival, Nick's strategy doing afternoons on our station was to attack and destroy this guy in any way possible. And Reetma's now paying attention to the show. I saw his head peep over Radio Insight, Radio Wars. And I'm surprised yesterday on his show, I don't know if he did or not, that Nick did not try to take personal shots at Kevin Kietzman, who he absolutely, and we all absolutely despised. So that was him making national news. And he is that type of dude, like Bayless. He doesn't even care. Over the backlash.
Oh, yeah.
He gets his high off of any type of attention and his name being in the headlines. It doesn't matter that he's now a pariah in the city.
Bayless was the first name I thought of listening to that clip. That's exactly who it sounded like something Bayless would do. But I mean, 817 brings up a good point. They should trade him. He's fat and lazy. That's true.
Yeah.
The Chiefs should trade him. They should get rid of him.
Definitely move on.
Got to move on.
The audio of the week comes from the golf fight. Including a former NHL enforcer. We have the audio. It's RJ Choppy's number one pet peeve in the world. You got to hear this next on Sean and RJ 105.3 The Fan. A Rangers-Tigers ticket giveaway starting with the 720 commercial. Free expressway for 40 minutes. No reason to go anywhere else. That's what Tolo stands for. Turn it on. Leave it on. With Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Bell. My favorite story and audio of the week. It's not even close. Hopefully a G-bag of the day nominee and winner comes from the golf course and comes as a result of slow play.
Slow play, man. There's nothing worse than slow play. You know, even if you're a bad golfer, just if you keep the pace up, that's all that matters, man. We're not out there on the PGA Tour. Well, this comes from Canada, and you can tell that because of the accents. If you watch the entire video,
it's a very tough bleep. I'll give you props, Peyton. Good job here.
So,
don't even name who the enforcer is yet.
This is a very emasculating moment. So the backstory here is that you've got, it's a very long video. Nathan's going to get up on the fan cam. It's got a very long video of a bunch of guys essentially starting to get into it on a golf course over slow play. One of the guys yells out, you've been on the tee box for 23 minutes. This one dude, by the way, is wearing a button-down, full-on button-down.
Do people do this for 20 minutes, 23 minutes?
They were so hammered, he couldn't tee the ball up. All right? Sometimes it's like guys are just like shooting the you-know-what. They're talking, and it's like, guys, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
You look up, it's 6 minutes later, you haven't hit.
Let the people behind you play through.
They were not allowing them to play through. They're like, let us play through. You'll never see us again. Trust me. We'll be off this hole, and you'll just have teed off. So this one guy's like, he starts getting ready to go. He's like, you want to go? Let's go.
And he's this short little dude.
Short little dude.
He's hammered.
Bowing up. And the guy says, I'm going to throw you into this lake.
Here's the audio of the exchange. Enjoy.
They've been sitting there for 23 minutes.
I'll cry about it. I'm going to cry about it.
Buddy, you're going to get shit
today. I don't give a
like badly.
Good. Let's go, man.
Buddy, you don't want to go with me.
I'm not going in this.
He's like, you don't want to go.
All right, so Little Man is like bowing up. He's ready. He's got the high ground.
Cry about it.
That's a drop. The next time we fight Pepe. But Little Man here is like slowly taking off his golf gloves.
Yeah.
He's got the higher ground. He's on the green.
Yeah, so now he's eye level with the other guy.
He's eye level. I mean, this guy has to be like 5'8". And he wants to go.
He wants to go.
He's going at the wrong individual.
I'm not stopping. No. You guys need to get off the golf course. No, now. Pack up. Go now.
All right, stop. So what he's trying to do here is to intimidate and scare, like, oh, my God, I'm getting ready to fight a crazy person.
Oh, yeah, he's peacocking now. He's like, yeah. Oh, let's go! Yeah!
And the big guy on the other side is like, that's not doing anything for me. You're not scaring me whatsoever.
Park and go.
You're not scaring anybody. You're just making
yourself. Man. Come on, man. Hey!
Bushes, he got thrown in.
Hey!
Off to a good start, buddy.
I told you!
Man, leave him alone. You want
another? You want to?
Leave him alone, man. I got it all on record.
Man, record.
I got it all on record.
Hey! You want to go, guy?
Leave him alone, man.
I wouldn't keep going back, you moron.
Bang! Bang!
Come on, man.
Bang!
I'm not trying to get in there. Like,
enough!
Are you still cheering on, you?
Enough! Get out!
Hey!
Oh, enough!
Things go well for
him. Get him the f*** out of here!
First of all, you knew this guy was a hockey player because he's grabbing him by the shirt.
Yep.
Like they do when they're standing up fighting and just wailing away. And when you're getting punched and the other guy is doing Batman 1950s Adam West sound effects.
Your commentary on that, I did a LOL. And I don't even like saying LOL as a man.
Bang! Bang! Like you're just like doing the sound effects.
He's commentating the punches. Bang! Bang! And Lil Man kept coming back for more.
Yeah.
It didn't. Yeah. He threw him into, I thought, the water. He comes back, wails on him with three punches, knocks him down. Punches him again, and then heaves him across the golf cart path, it looks like. Like, Barstool got a still shot of the guy horizontal sideways to the ground.
Cry about it!
When he got heaved at the end there, and you heard the thud of his body just landing 11 feet away from where he was thrown. It was, I mean, what a fight. What a fight.
It's as dominant a fight as you can have. Yeah. He does have him by the collar. And so you mentioned he literally pulls him in when he wants to punch him. And then anytime the guy gets shot up, he just extends him out because he's also got the reach. And so it's just like, all right, let me pull you in when I want to hit you. And when you're going to hit me, I'll just pull you back away. Like, there was literally no chance for this dude.
Bang!
Bang!
Well, the reason it was such a lopsided fight is because the internet discovered that the big man was Nick Tarnaski, who played 245 games in the National Hockey League. He racked up more penalty minutes than games played. 297, played 486 games in the AHL over 9 years, putting up a staggering 881 penalty minutes. His plus minus in the AHL was minus 76. He was out there to fight. He was out there to beat down. How big do you think this dude is?
He's a lot bigger than his playing weight, okay? Like he's listed at 6'2", 220. I'm 220. He's not too, he's much, much bigger than me. This guy is 260.
Yes.
He is a mammoth human being from one of my favorite cities in the world. Rocky Mountain House is the name of it. Just a wonderful name. Wonderful name for us. Rocky Mountain House.
That's my favorite story, my favorite audio of the entire week.
Come on, man. Great, man.
Amazing.
Bang! Bang!
All right, how to solve your nightmares. I've been having a bad week of nightmares myself, so why?
It's, you know, this is something where what's been the classic, like, maybe it's an old wives' tale, what's been the classic remedy since, like, the 50s for, like, oh, you're having trouble going to sleep? Well, why don't you go get a warm glass of
Milk?
Yeah, go get a warm glass of milk. So the idea is because it's like, oh, it's a warm drink and there's tryptophan in the milk, and so it'll help you get to sleep. You'll be sleepy. Well, it turns out, it may make you go to sleep. It's going to give you nightmares. So new research shows that ingesting dairy before bed gives you nightmares. At least this is what this initial study is suggesting. It's one from Canada, which is where you get that aboot or cry aboot it.
Record.
Exactly. Record. I recorded you. Scientists in Canada conducted the study by surveying college students. People who reported having regular nightmares and poorer sleep in general were also more likely to report having food allergies, including lactose intolerance. They found the researchers speculate that the distress caused by people's stomach issues can seep into our non-waking hours. So, given all the issues people have with dairy, which even if you're not lactose intolerant, dairy is generally considered really hard on the digestive system. And so, anybody who's taking that before they go to bed, they're saying, yeah, that's probably leading to an epidemic of nightmares right now. So, if you want them to stop eating dairy before bed.
I mean, that's my child every night, both my children every night before bed with the milk. I thought I was going to be late this morning. Something was going on with my daughter. She was like crying at 4:35. I was up there trying to rock her to sleep. Maybe it was a nightmare.
It was a nightmare. Look, the good news, though, is if you do suffer from nightmares, it's all going to be over very soon for you, because research shows that if you have about 3 nightmares a week, you have a 3 times greater chance of dying before the age of 70.
Now, that one makes a lot more sense to me than the milk.
The stress, you think you have like a heart
attack.
You're
not sleeping. You're not sleeping. Now, I will say this. Out of like 5 nightmares that I have, I do have the ability at some point in the nightmare, 3 out of 5 times, I'll say, all right, try to wake up and see if this is fake. I've been able to go, okay, like, stop. And then I'll wake up and I'll be like, oh my God, thank God that wasn't real. So I can do that kind of 3 out of 5 times.
See, I had a bad one the other day. I was a backup goalie. Okay.
Okay. Pete DeBoer's favorite.
And between periods, we had just given up like 5 goals in the first. Between periods, I was like, well, shoot, man. I wasn't even dressed. I was like, I'm going to go to the old number 7, Jack Daniels Club. And then I was like,
you were at the AAC playing.
Yeah, I was in there for an awful long time. Like an awful lot of time. And I walk out and I see the main goalie just standing there on the concourse without his gear on. I said, hey, aren't we about to start the period? He goes, yeah. I was like, aren't you playing? He goes, no, I got pulled. You're in. I'm like, well, I'm not dressed. Start in 30 seconds. And then you start the run, the nightmare run, and you don't go anywhere.
So that's exactly my question, though. When they're saying 3 nightmares a week, when you say a nightmare, are you talking about I'm being chased by a monster or I'm being shot by...
My dad passed away.
Okay, so like, because that's the... Some people say, oh, I showed up to school with no clothes on. Like, is that equal to monster nightmare? Is that what that's talking about talk about those studies?
To me, it's a nightmare of like being in a college math class and being unprepared and being humiliated and failing the class and failing college. That'll be a recurring one for me. I'm back in a classroom.
So the other night I had a dream that the Mavericks did not take Cooper Flagg with the first pick, that instead they picked
that's a dream, not a nightmare, Bobby?
No, they picked someone else. I don't even remember who they picked. They picked someone else. You were so upset you quit, Like, you were just like, I'm not doing radio anymore. This is ridiculous. They're going to keep making us mad. I'm not doing this anymore. So you quit. But, like, for instance, that, if you would have had that dream, would Cooper Flagg have risen to the level of, that's a nightmare if the Mavericks were to not draft Cooper Flagg.
Yes.
That's upsetting enough.
Yes.
Fortune favors the bold.
All right. If that's how we were, then it must be just a stress or anxiety related thing.
All right. There it is. Sean, RJ, and Roberto with the 6 a.m. club, our best audience of the entire show. That's why we want you to win the Rangers Tigers ticket giveaway. Speaking of the Mavericks and Cooper Flagg, how he's already the hottest ticket of the summer. And forget about Anthony Davis being called street clothes. Apparently, the new nickname is Goggles after another AD injury report. That's next on DFW Sports Station.